الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue with the العقيدة الوسطية. The Sheikh Hassan ibn Taymiyyah, at first we'd like to welcome some of our brothers who have been gone for a long time back. It's good to see all of you, alhamdulillah. Ask Allah to make this dars and the other durus beneficial for the speaker and the listeners. And just in case you're out of touch, and you are out of touch, we were dealing with the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the belief in Qadr, which is the pre-decree or the preordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the issues that some Muslims have concerning that. In particular, we stopped at the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, فَمَا مِنْ مَخْلُوقٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِقَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا خَالِقَ غَيْرَهُ وَلَا رَبَّ سِوَاهُ. There isn't a creation on the earth or in the heavens except that Allah is its creator, the sublime. There is no creator but Him, and there is no Lord besides Him. Rabb actually means more than Lord. It's Lord and Master, the one who's in charge. The Shaykh said, Shaykh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah, لِهَذَا دَلِيلٌ أَثَرِيٌّ وَدَلِيلٌ نَظَرِيٌّ. Now, concerning that statement of Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, there's a textual evidence and there's a rational evidence. وَأَمَّا الدَّلِيلُ الْأَثَرِي, as for the textual evidence, فَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This is Surah Az-Zumar, Ayah 62. Allah is the creator of everything. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, when Allah said, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُقِنُونَ. Or were they created of by nothing? Or did they create themselves? Are they their own creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Nay, but they have no firm faith. فَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يُوْجَدَ شَيْءٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِقَهُ وَحْدَهُ. There, you will not find anything in the heavens or on the earth except that Allah is its only sole creator. Nothing, it's not like there's another creator along with Allah, where Allah has his own creation and then the other entity has its own creation. وَلَقَدْ تَحَدَّ اللَّهُ الْعَابِدِينَ لِلْأَصْنَامِ تَحَدِّيًا أَمَرَنَا أَن نَسْتَمِعَ لَهُ. It's amazing. And Allah Azza wa Jal has challenged the idol worshippers with the challenge, and Allah commanded us to pay attention and listen attentively to that challenge. فقال, Allah said in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 73, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. O people, a similitude has been coined, so listen attentively. Those whom you call on besides Allah will not be able to create a fly, even if they all join purpose. All of them came together with that one objective to be fulfilled, which is creating a fly. They will not be able to do so. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فِي الْقِمَّةِ عِنْدَهُمْ. And it is known that those whom they call on besides Allah, they hold them in high esteem. The kuffar who worship these idols, they hold these idols in great esteem. لِأَنَّهُمْ اتَّخَذُوهُمْ أَرْبَابًا, because they have taken them as object of worship, as their lords and masters. فَإِذَا عَجَزَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقُمَّةِ عَنْ أَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَهُوَ أَخَسُّ الْأَشْيَاءَ وَأَهْوَنُهَا. If these idols who are held in high esteem are unable to create a fly, which is considered to be something, you know, insignificant, something, you know, not even worthy of, it's a fly. فَمَا فَوْقَهُ مِنْ بَابِ أَوْلَى, then them being able to create something greater is more so. Now, of course, this is a very strong argument against all Hindus and Buddhists. And, you know, you may do so. I don't know if it's wise, unless you're going to get in trouble. But you may do so, or if you're ever in that position, you say to them, this is this Shiva or Vishnu, whatever you worship in,
Now, please have it create a fly. You know what? I'll take a mosquito. Maybe a fly is too much for you. I'll take an ant. I'll take anything that is lesser than that. Let it produce, let it create something before my eyes. Bring all of your worshippers. Let them all supplicate to this idol of yours. Let it create a hare. They will never be able to do so. And when they tell you, well, what about your God? Then you tell them, look around you. Look at the vegetation growing. Look at the children being born. Look at everything. It is not your false God doing it. It is Allah. And the biggest evidence is when you call on your false God, nothing happens. But when we call, without calling on Allah, He's maintaining the creation. So we can prove something. You can't prove anything. And Allah said, even if they want, if they came together to create a fly, they will not be able to create a fly. So this is the characteristic of the false God. It doesn't hear you. It doesn't see you. It has no idea that you're even there. And you can ask it for whatever you want. لا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. They do not possess for themselves no harm nor any benefit. How are they going to harm you or benefit you? Nor do they control death, life and resurrection. So these are the qualities, alaykum salam, of all the false gods. طيب. The Shaykh said, rather Allah continued to say, وَإِن يَسْلُبُهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْهُ. And even if the fly was to extract or take something from their idols, they will not be able to take it back. If that fly, not only they cannot create a fly, but if a fly wind up taking something off that false God, this God of yours cannot take it back from the fly. Cannot say, give me back what you took from me. And the Shaykh will say what the scholars have said in interpreting this ayah. فَيَعْجُزُونَ حَتَّى عَنْ مُدَفَعَةِ الذُّبَابِ وَأَخْذْ حَقَّهُمْ مِنْ. They're unable to even defend themselves against the fly and retrieve their rights or their belongings from a fly. So this is the false God that you're worshipping. You can't even deal with the fly. فَإِنْ قِيلْ كَيْفَ يَسْلُبُ الذُّبَابُ هَذِي الْأَصْنَامِ شَيْئًا. If someone said, how can a fly steal something from an idol anyways? What do you mean by that? فالجواب, the answer is, قال بعض العلماء. Some of the ulama said, إِنَّ هَذَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْفَرْضِ. This is only hypothetical. This is only hypothetical, meaning it is not real. Even if it were, Allah is trying to show you to what extent they cannot do anything. يعني على فرض أن يسلبهم الذباب شيئا لا يستنقذهم منه. Hypothetically speaking, assuming that the fly took something from that God, then it will not be able to, from that false God, that idol, it will not be able to take it back. وقال بعضهم, other ulama said, بل على سبيل الواقع. Rather, this is factual. فيقع الذباب على هذه الأصنام ويمتص ما فيها من أطياب. This idol or this fly may actually land on these idols, and it may actually consume some of the goods which are there. For example, you all know that Buddha is always with a bunch of fruits. You've seen the statue of Buddha amongst the Buddhists. He's never there without an orange, bananas, apples, some things in his hand.
Or sweets.
Huh? Or sweets or something. It depends, I guess, on what they prefer, the people, or what he eats when everybody's gone. That's why he keeps gaining weight, it seems. Or maybe that's what happens. And or even if they put some tlib, some, maybe some athar, some perfume, whatever that is, let's say there's some perfume. If that fly took away some of that perfume, can it take it back? فَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُ الْأَصْنَامَ أَن تُخْرِجَ مَا امْتَصَهُ الذُّبَابُ. So these idols cannot take back what these flies have taken, what they have, you know, sucked out of these idols.
وَإِذَا كَانَتْ عَاجِزًا عَنِ الدَّفْعِ عَنْ نَفْسِهَا وَاسْتِنْقَاذِ حَقِّهَا فَهِيَ عَنِ الدَّفْعِ عَنْ غَيْرِهَا وَاسْتِنْقَاذِ حَقَّهُ أَعْجَزُ.
If these idols then are unable to defend themselves, nor are they able to take back their rights, then how are they going to defend someone else and take back their rights? They will be more unable to do so. Their ability will be even less. This is logic. And you all know the example, or that is narrated, that some of the, you know, the righteous, some of the people in the old times, he was worshipping this idol. And then while he was worshipping the idol, a dog came by and it urinated on his statue. And so he got mad and he started chasing after the dog. You know, how could you pee on my God? You know what I'm saying? And then while he was running, he was like, hold on a second, man. There must be something wrong. Why am I chasing after a dog, you know, who supposedly urinated on my object of worship? There must be something wrong in the equation. And it hit him right there that, you know, what he's been doing is false. And this could not be an object of worship. Otherwise, he would have told the dog, back off. You know, I'm a God. You know, what are you doing? But that shows you how helpless these things are. In fact, they're sculptured by the people. They're cleaned and maintained by the people. And you've all seen the video in the Catholic Church, I think it was the Catholic Church, when, you know, these four old, you know, senior citizen priests were walking in, you know, carrying one of these statues of some saint, you know, so they can place it for worship. And while they're walking in, one of them slipped and the statue fell and it broke, and all the people, you know, the audience, like, you know, these nuns sitting in the front, everybody was like, oh, you know, and you see their reaction, and it's like, hello, this is what you're about to worship? It fell and broke its head. Do you not realize that there's something wrong there, old people? It was supposed to, if it was really God, according to you, when it drops, it should have stood, you know, on its own. You know, and showed you some of its miracles, some of its power, for it to drop and break, and you panic, that's a sign from Allah. And Allah shows him these signs. If someone had some brain left, he would have said, hold on a second. Why were we going to ask this thing if it couldn't even stop itself from falling? What is it going to give me if it cannot even protect its own self? I mean, it's logic, which Allah gave us Muslims. But subhanAllah, the kuffar don't see it this way. You know, you speak to them and it's like you're speaking to a doorknob, as they say. They just don't understand. Alhamdulillah for ni'mat al-Islam and ni'mat al-Iman and aql. You know, aql is very important. Very important. Ala kulli hal. Well, muhim, the important thing, anna Allah ta'ala khaliqu kulli shay. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is the creator of everything. وأن لا خالق إلا الله. And there isn't a creator besides Allah. فيجب الإيمان بعموم خلق الله عز وجل. It is obligatory to believe in the general idea of Allah being the creator. وأنه خالق كل شيء. Allah is the creator of everything. حتى أعمال العباد. Now this is where we come into a technical point here. Even the actions of the creation, the slaves of Allah, they are created by Allah. Is that the case? Meaning, as you blink your eye, and as I speak, this falls under the creation of Allah. Meaning Allah created you, and He created the blinking of the eye, and the ability to hear, and the pumping of the heart, and the flowing of the blood, and what have you. Everything that is happening is also included in Allah's creation. Or, do we say that Allah just created us, then our actions are independent? They're not part of the creation of Allah. This is where there's an issue amongst the you know, some of the different groups in Islam. And we will see what the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is. And we have a clear ayah, by the way, which is decisive in this regard. But we will wait a little bit, inshallah. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ لِقَوْلِ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. First, the general ayah, Allah is the creator of everything, that includes our actions. That automatically includes our actions and deeds. But we have a more specific one. وَعَمَلُ الْإِنسَانِ مِنَ الشَّيْءٍ. The deeds of a person are part of that thing. Allah is the creator of everything. Part of that everything is what you do. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He created everything and He gave it its due measurement. He measured it according to due measurement. وَالْآيَاتُ فِي هَذَا كَثِيرًا. The ayat in this regard are abundant. وَفِيهِ آيَةٌ خَاصَّةٌ فِي الْمَوْضُوعِ. But there's a specific ayah which is specific to this subject matter. And don't, if you have the book, don't answer me. Anyone else who doesn't have the book, do you know the ayah which specifically, explicitly says that our deeds were created by Allah? If you have the book, don't answer me. If you don't have the book, use your brain. The search engine is on. If you have one functioning, that is. Huh? A surah, an ayah like clear like the sun. Ayah naif. Huh? Why are you shy? سيد
والله
طب what surah is it in? Can you say the English translation? طيب the answer is correct. Surah As-Saffat. By the way, Surah As-Saffat is a beautiful surah. And the whole Quran is beautiful, but it has a special rhythm to it. And the lessons in it as well. على كل حال, in the context of Ibrahim. Ibrahim, when he was dealing with his father, Azar, and the rest of the clan of idol worshippers, and he had broken already the statues, he told them at some point, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah created you, وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. عَمَلْ اِعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah created you and all that which you do, all the amal, all the work, all the deeds which you do, Allah created them. This is a clear text. Clear text. Surah As-Saffat, ayah 96. Now here we go into the grammar. فَمَا مَصْدَرِيَّةِ. مَا مَصْدَرِيَّةِ is an infinitive. وتقديم الكلام خلقكم وعملكم. And the meaning of this, because here in English you cannot really translate this to English, because you will say والله خلقكم وما تعملون. And Allah created you and that which you do. So ما means Allah خلقكم وعملكم, meaning Allah created you and your deeds. وهذا نص في أن عمل الإنسان مخلوق لله تعالى. This is a clear, straightforward, unambiguous text in the Quran that Allah created our deeds. فإن قيل, if someone said, ألا يحتمل أن تكون ما اسما موصولا ويكون المعنى خلقكم وخلق الذي تعملونه. Could it be that ما is a relative pronoun? So the ayah becomes, Allah created you and He created that which you do. It sounds the same, and it is. فكيف يمكن أن نقول إن في الآية دليلا على خلق أفعال العباد على هذا التقدير أن ما موصولة. So if we were to assume, because now grammatically ما can be مصدرية and infinitive and it could be a relative pronoun, which is that, the way we translated that, but in English it's going to be the same. So the person is asking, how can you say this ayah is an evidence that Allah created our deeds if ma is a relative pronoun? فالجواب, the Shaykh said, the answer is, this is a little complex. أنه إذا كان المعمول مخلوقا لله لازم أن يكون عمل الإنسان مخلوقا. Beautiful. If the action, if that which the person does is the creation of Allah, that means that the action of the person is also created. As the man is created, his actions must be created. لأن المعمول كان بعمل الإنسان, because that which has been done is the action of the doer, the human being. فالإنسان هو الذي باشر العمل في المعمول. Human being is the one who took the initiative to carry out this action, this object, as in the object of a sentence. فإذا كان المعمول مخلوقا لله وهو فعل العبد, then if that which has been done is the creation of Allah and it is the action of the slave, لازم أن يكون فعل العبد مخلوق. This necessitates that the action of the slave is also created. يعني look at it in order. The man is created, his actions are his own actions, because this is created, this must mean it's created. You understand me? Like a boss and a manager. And whoever's under the manager will be in the same position, because the boss is one. And all of them now, it doesn't matter. If this is working for him, then they're all working for him. In this sense. I hope that makes sense. على كل حال, فيكون في الآية دليل على خلق أفعال العباد على كلا الاحتمالين. على كلا الاحتمالين. Anyways, whichever way you look at it, whether it is a relative pronoun or an infinitive, the meaning is the same. If Allah created us, and Allah is the creator of everything, that means whether you want to put the action under us or under Allah Azza wa Jal directly, it's still under the creation of Allah. Either Allah created the action or Allah created us and we made the action, still because Allah created us, then our actions will also be created by Allah. So either way you interpret the ayah, the meaning is the same. Our deeds and actions are created by Allah. Clear? طيب. وأما الدليل النظري. Let us look at the rational evidence now. على أن أفعال العبد مخلوقة لله, مخلوقة لله, that the actions of the slaves are created by Allah. فتقريره أن نقول إن فعل العبد ناشئ عن أمرين, عزيمة صادقة وقدرة تامة. Any action which you do is based on two things: the strong, the sincere determination, and the adequate ability. If you don't have the determination and you don't have the ability, you cannot do something. If you intend to do something, I want to go to the masjid. You have the intent to go to the masjid. Once that intent exists and you have the means to move, then this is what brings an action. If one of them is missing, you can't. If you don't really have the determination, you will be lazy, you'll stay at home. And if you're physically unable to go, then you won't be able to go. So you need a niyyah, strong niyyah in the sense, and the ability to carry out that action of yours, that niyyah of yours. مثال ذلك, an example. أردت أن أعمل عملا من الأعمال. I want to do any action, to carry out any kind of work. فلا يوجد هذا العمل حتى يكون مسبوقا بأمرين. You can never carry out this work until it's preceded by two matters. أحدهما, first, العزيمة الصادقة على فعله, لأنك لو لم تعزم ما فعلته. The strong determination to do it. If you don't have that strong determination, you won't do anything. الثاني, القدرة التامة, the adequate ability. لأنك لو لم تقدر ما فعلت, again, if you are unable to do it, then you won't be, if you have no ability, then you can't do that thing which you are unable to do. فالذي خلق فيك هذه القدرة هو الله. Who created in you the ability to do something? Who created the ability? Allah. وهو الذي أودع فيك العزيمة. Who gave you the determination? Allah. وخالق السبب التام خالق المسبب. So the one who created the cause creates the effect. So it's the same thing. It's again, you can't do anything, Allah's created. So logically, our deeds must be created by Allah. Why? Because for us to do something, we need strong determination, ability. Allah is the one who created the ability in us and the strong determination. So that means our deeds are created by Allah, logically speaking now. ووجه ثان نظري, there's another rational observation. أن تقول الفعل وصف الفاعل. You say that the action describes the act, the verb describes the subject. يعني the verb tells you what that person did. I ate an apple. Ate tells you what I did. طيب, والوصف تابع للموصوف, and the adjective refers back to that which is describing. Okay, a blue car. Blue is describing the car. فكما أن الإنسان بذاته مخلوق لله, the same way that person, the human himself, is created by Allah, فأفعاله مخلوقة. His actions are also created in this sense, like the verb and the subject, and like the adjective and the noun which it describes. لأن الصفة تابعة للموصوف, because the adjective refers back to the noun which it describes. What's the difference between an adverb and an adjective?
Adverb is
just
a verb,
adjective
is a noun.
Is that it? Many people have a misconception about this, by the way. Where are the English students? Huh?
Adverb is just action and adjective.
You were right, ya Sheikh. Wait, don't ruin it. You were right, but there's more to it. Huh? You were studying, you said you were studying in school?
Yes.
They didn't teach you this?
They
did. What happened, bro? Khalas, summer began and evaporated already? Unlike what most people think, an adjective is that which modifies or describes a noun. An adverb is that which modifies or describes a verb, an adjective or another adverb. Not only a verb. Like you say, come to me or come home as soon as possible. Now soon is an adjective describing or is an adverb describing come. As is another adverb describing soon. As soon as. So as is an adverb describing the adverb soon. I finished quite quickly. Quickly is an adverb describing finished. How I finished. Quite describes and modifies how quickly I finished. So it's an adverb. So otherwise people get confused. What is quite here? Is it an adjective? Is it an adverb? That's besides the point. Okay, if you want private tutoring, go somewhere else. Where was I? Now, just so you think I'm making an advertisement for my English skills here. I'm sorry, I don't mean to do that. But I want you to benefit. على كل حال فتبين بالدليل أن عمل الإنسان مخلوق لله. So now we have, according to evidence, both textual evidence and rational evidence, that the actions of the people are created by Allah. وداخل في عموم الخلق أثريا ونظريا. It's included in the general creation of Allah, both textually and rationally. والدليل الأثري قسمان عام وخاص. And the textual evidence is both general. It's two kinds, general and specific. General, والله خالق كل شيء. Specific, والله خلقكم وما تعملون. والدليل النظري له وجهان. And the rational one, we said there are two ways to observe it. جميل. Now the statement of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, وقوله لا خالق غيره. There is no creator but him, besides him. إن قلت هذا الحصر يرد عليك أن هناك خالقا غير الله. The Sheikh said, it seems that this kind of exclusivity suggests that there's another creator besides Allah. فالمصور يعد نفسه خالقا. We go into the issues now. Image makers, they consider themselves to be creating image. In fact, you say, I'm going to create a PDF file. I'm going to create a Word document. And people create images by drawing them, sculpturing them, or snapping them with a camera, according to the one position, which is very strong and powerful. So then we have an issue here. بل جاء في الحديث, right, there comes in some of the narrations, أنه خالق, that the one who makes images is a creator. خالق, he's given that name, pay attention. فإن المصورين يعذبون. The hadith says, the image makers will be tortured. يقال لهم, it will be said to them, أحيوا ما خلقتم. Grant life to that which you created. So on يوم القيامة, image makers will be told, give life to that which you created. So what was referred to them? خلق. They were given the quality of creating. Otherwise, why would it be said to them, give life to that which you created? In another narration, أُنفُقُ الرُّوح, يعني blow a soul. Give a soul. Now that you've resembled Allah's quality of Al-Musawwir, now that you try to act like Allah by giving an image, now fulfill it and give it a soul like Allah gave it a soul. And they will not be able to do so, and they will be tortured with these images until Allah wills otherwise. So that's why be careful of freely taking pictures with your camera. Video, it's a whole other discussion. Because a video is unlike a camera in many different ways. The least we can say is when you take a video, you're actually taking the person's movement. It is not a still image with a shadow. Furthermore, there's absolutely a benefit in it. If you take a video of a sheikh giving a lecture, is there a benefit in it or not? Tremendous benefit. But if you took a picture of a sheikh smiling, and what? He looks nice, big beard, and he's posing. And what? What? What's the benefit in da'wah? There's absolutely no benefit. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. There's nothing. No benefit whatsoever in taking a picture. Even if he's the biggest sheikh in the world, it's still a picture. It will bring no benefit, and angels will not enter the place. So I know this is an issue where the scholars have differed, but take my advice on it. Because it's a doubtful, let's say the least we can say is doubtful, yaqi, life goes on without these pictures. Wallah, you don't need them. People before us survived. And they did just fine without taking pictures of their wives and daughters and families and what have you. Life was good. Nowadays we've become so spoiled, it's like, brother, come on man, telling me I can't have pictures of my family members? Say yes. It's exactly what I'm saying, but you don't believe me. على كل حال, forget that right now. Let's stick to what the درس is about. وقال عز وجل فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. So blessed is Allah, the best of creators. أحسن is comparative or superlative? Here it's in superlative. Comparative is when you compare between two things. Ahmed is taller than Rabi. Ahmed is the tallest. Here أحسن is مطلق, the superlative form. خالقين, the best of creators. So the ayah itself says that among the creators Allah is the best. So how do we say, how does Shaykh al-Islam say لا خالق غيره, there's no creator but Allah, while we're saying that on يوم القيامة the مصورين will be called that خالق, and Allah says Allah is the best of creators. Isn't that an interesting conflict? It is. فهناك خالق, there's a creator, لكن الله تعالى هو أحسن خالقين, but Allah is the best of creators. فما الجواب عن قول المؤلف؟ How do we answer then the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the author رحمه الله؟ الجواب, the Shaykh said, the answer is أن الخلق الذي ننسبه إلى الله عز وجل هو الإيجاد وتبديل الأعيان من عين لأخرى. The creation which we refer back to Allah is bringing something from nothing, bringing something into existence from absolute, as they say, from scratch, and replacing entities with other entities, replacing entities with other entities. فَلَا أَحَدْ يُوجِدْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, nothing can bring anything into existence except Allah. وَلَا أَحَدْ يُبَدِّلْ عَيْنَ إِلَى عَيْنَ, no one can replace a substance with another substance in this sense except Allah, إِلَّا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. وَمَا قِيلْ إِنَّهُ خَلَقْ بِالنِّسْبَ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ, as for what has been said that He created in reference to the creation, فهو عبارة عن تحويل شيء من صفة إلى صفة. It is merely changing something from one condition to another. For example, when someone draws an image, what is he actually doing? He's changing ink or lead, whether it is a pencil or a pen or whatever it is that he's using, he's changing it from that creation of Allah to something else. You get me? Anything which one does is actually getting something which Allah already created, transforming it into something else. That's not considered creation in the ultimate sense. It is modifying a created being, which we can still call it a form of creation, like you create a Word document or you create a PDF file. But did you bring it into existence, or did the computer give you that shortcut? You just right click and put new file and you created that folder. You still say you created that folder, but did you bring it from nothing? Or was the computer already predisposed to give you that option? Then, even though we say you created a Word document, you in fact used Bill Gates, Microsoft, you know, whatever, to get it. You didn't bring it from nothing in this sense. I'm giving you just a smaller example, because you can go back and say, okay, then Bill Gates must be the creator, because he said no, because he again got something which Allah created in order to come up with the idea of Windows, and the list goes on. You with me? So you're getting a creation, modifying it, bringing it into something else. But who can bring from scratch? So in this sense, Allah is the Khaliq in the ultimate sense. فالخشبة مثلا بدلا من أن كانت في الشجرة تحول بالنجارة إلى باب. For example, the wood, before it was a tree, through carpenter's work, it becomes a door. It becomes a door, table, whatever. Why are you stuck on a table, أخي? The example says door. فتحويلها إلى باب يسمى خلقا. So actually transforming it into a door is still called, it's a form of creating it. Yeah, you created a door from wood, but you still created a door. Had you brought a door without the wood, we would say now you got some special skills. But no one can do that. And it's, well, unless it's steel. But then we go back to the same thing. You can't bring something from nothing. Only Allah Azza wa Jal does. لَكِنَّهُ لَيْسَ الْخَلْقِ الَّذِي يَخْتَصُ بِهِ الْخَالِقِ. It is not that form of creation which is specific and unique to the Creator, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهُوَ الْإِجَادُ مِنْ عَدَمٍ. It is bringing something into existence from non-existence. وَأَوْ تَبْدِيلُ الْعَيْنِ مِنْ عَيْنِ الْأُخْرَى. Or changing an element or a substance or an entity from one condition to another, totally. Not like we're doing it. Now this was, I hope that answers that issue. وَقَوْلُهُ وَلَا رَبَّ سِوَهُ. And there's no Lord and Master but Him. أي أن الله وحده هو الرب, أو أن الله وحده هو الرب المدبر لجميع الأمور. That Allah Azza wa Jal alone is the الرب, the master, المدبر, the arranger of all affairs. Allah is the one who arranges the affairs of everything. وهذا حصر حقيقي. This is an exclusive, authentic, genuine condition to Allah. Only Allah Azza wa Jal can do that in this sense. ولكن ربما يرد عليه أنه جاء في الأحاديث إثبات الربوبية لغير الله. Still someone may present a misconception that some narrations actually affirm ربوبية to other than Allah. Did you know that? طب check it out. ففي لقطة الإبل قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was a camel which was a stray and it was found by someone. It was found by someone, you know, it's like a luqata, it's like a, that which has been gone missing and someone finds it. And you're supposed to announce to the people for a whole year, take back your stuff, take back your stuff. If no one takes it, what happens to it? You keep it. What happened? What did you guys say? If you find something that is valuable, you're supposed to announce it for 1 year. So the owner may retrieve it. If no one gets it after 1 year, it becomes yours. It becomes yours. Mash. Ala kulli hal. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Da'ha." When someone brought this lost camel, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Da'ha, leave it." Ma'ha siqa'uha wa hidha'uha. It has within its drink, the water which it needs to drink. Wa hidha'uha, Allahu alam what is meant by that. Taridu al-ma, it will go to its own place to have its own water to drink. وَتَأْكُلُ الشَّجَرَ will eat from its from the trees. حَتَّى يَجِدُهَا رَبُّهَا حَتَّى يَجِدَهَا عَفْوًا حَتَّى يَجِدَهَا رَبُّهَا until its Rabb will find it. What is intended here? The master. Which master? The owner of that. Beautiful. نعم وربها صاحبها. And this is, by the way, very common amongst the Arabs or those who speak Arabic. We don't want to say Arabs because according to the ulama, anyone who speaks Arabic, he becomes an Arab in this sense. It is not a race or a nationality as much as it is a language, because really, if you go back to it, Ismail, you know, who was from Ibrahim and Ishaq, and they were not speaking Arabic, eventually mixed with the people in Yemen. And from the people in Yemen, we had, you know, who were the original Arabs in this sense. I mean, there's a long issue here in discussion. But the ulama say, at least in Islam, if you become fluent in Arabic, then you're considered an Arab. And, you know, that they make a distinction between Arabs and non-Arabs, as in Arabic speakers and non-Arabic speakers. Not necessarily your ethnicity. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Even though we don't have a great reputation in the world, Allah musta'an, but you know that maybe you don't want to become an Arab, but the Prophet ﷺ was one. So we have to be very, because some people hate Arabs, and even though some Arabs really cause people to hate them because of their silly behavior, we have to be very careful not to go to extreme. And you know, if you hate someone, hate that person for his behavior, don't generalize. You cannot say, I hate Indians, or I hate Arabs, or I hate, you know, Pakistanis, or I hate Saudis. You can't, because each one of these people, they have good and bad. So you can hate people, individuals, for their adherence to Islam or lack of adherence to Islam. But don't hate a particular race or ethnicity. That's not accepted in Islam. Period. Naam, I'm sure you know that already. Alhamdulillah. طيب إذا وجاء في بعض ألفاظ حديث جبريل حتى تلد الأمة ربها. حديث جبريل, the famous hadith, until the slave girl gives birth to her Rabb, again her master. فما هو الجمع بين هذا وبين قول المؤلف رحمه الله رب سوى. Again, how do we bring a relation between these statements, these ahadith, and the statement of Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, there is no Rabb except Allah? نقول إن ربوبية الله عامة كاملة. We say that the ربوبية of Allah is general and encompassing. كل شيء, everything, فالله ربه. Allah is its Lord and Master. لا يسأل عما يفعل في خلقه. No one can question Allah, what is he doing in regards to his creation. لِأَنَّ فِعْلَهُ كُلُّهُ رَحْمَةً وَحِكْمَةً. Because every action of Allah is mercy and wisdom. وَلِهَذَا يُقَدِّرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْجَدْبِ وَالْمَرَضِ وَالْمَوْتِ وَالْجُرُوحِ فِي الْإِنسَانِ وَفِي الْحَيَوَانِ. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal decrees drought, illnesses, death, and wounds in the human beings and in the animals. وَهَذَا غَايَةُ الْكَمَالِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. This is the epitome of perfection and wisdom. أَمَّا رُبُوبِيَّةِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ. As for the mastery or the mastership, I guess, for of the creation over the other creation, is it in that sense? No. فَرُبُوبِيَّةِ النَّاقِصَةِ قَاصِرَةِ. It is deficient, short-sighted rububiyyah. Because you can be in charge of a camel and you will not arrange its affairs the way it needs it. When Allah arranges the affairs of His creation, it's all with wisdom and mercy. Even if there's what appears to be bad outwardly, there's good in it. For example, people say, "Akhi, you know, you Muslims are a bunch of philosophers. What good is there in drought? What good is there in drought? When there's no rain and no vegetation, people lose their money, people lose their farms, you know, people suffer, the animals suffer. What wisdom? Well, you say your God has mercy and wisdom, and now you're trying to prove to me that there's wisdom and mercy in drought? How do you answer that? You better have an answer, every one of you.
You mean find the good in drought?
That you want to prove to an atheist now that there's goodness in that. To him, please, come on. Tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes, what is that? Okay, now either no one speaks or everybody speaks at the same time. He came first. Time out, chief.
There's bad in the opposite. Too much water is also bad.
Not sufficient. Huh?
Having patience in times of difficulty, that is the bad. Patience. I mean,
they're working
with the hereafter.
Okay, good. That's the best, most silencing answer, really. Say, listen, yeah, Mr. Atheist. The problem is that you don't believe in God. I do. And because I believe in God, I believe that this life is nothing but a short test. And what we're looking forward is the life to come. So in this drought, when there's drought, what do we Muslims do? We pray Salatul Istisqa. We go to the masjid and we pray and we beg Allah Azza wa Jal and we repent to Allah from our sins. Everyone says, "I've been very bad. I'm going to leave alone this and that." The whole community returns to Allah because we want some rain. Now to you this is worthless. To us this is the best thing in the world. And we're willing to suffer drought from the day we're born until the day we die if this is going to make us return to Allah and place us in paradise. So because you don't believe in this, to you there's no wisdom. To us this is the best thing in life. Because had Allah given us rain abundantly, we wouldn't feel the need to go and do Salatul Istisqa. We will miss out on worship, which will get us closer to Him, that will enable us to enter paradise. So it becomes then that abundance of rain may be a calamity upon the children of Adam, and the biggest evidence is you, O atheist. Look how prideful you are. Because God has given you all these things, you don't even believe in Him. It would be nice if He took some things from you, so you will learn that you're nothing but a worthless creature. And of course, you know, you may get into some boxing afterwards if you say all these things. That's why what I'm telling you is the summary. You don't use these words with Him. That's not wise, but I'm telling you the mentality which you have, of course you try to use it in the best words and the nicest approach possible. Right? But that's what you need to have in mind. And you need to have confidence. Always when it comes to, don't be a funny guy and say, "Oh, don't apologize for anything." Let them realize that they're feeble-minded. They're sick in the heart and the mind. For them to reject Allah, on what basis are you rejecting Allah? So you give him a silencing answer about your faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. If nothing happens but you establishing the hujjah against him, Jazakallah khair, you go your own way and he will go to Jahannam eventually. If he remains in that way. But you've done your job. You see what I'm saying? So then we say, there's wisdom. There's wisdom in that. Sometimes you say, you know, you see a cat got run over. You know, a tiny little kitten. A car runs it over and you see it, you know, flapping around, you know, breathing its last, you know, breaths before it dies. And you say, what wisdom is in there? Look, at that moment, when you saw it, your heart softened a little bit. And you thought about death. And you became more kind towards animals. The next time around you see a kitten, Maybe you were going to throw a stone at it, you will come and you'll pat and say, oh, because you remember the other can. Now you atheists think this is worthless, to us this is good. This has taught you a lesson towards other kings in this world, even though that one dying wasn't the greatest thing in the world. Because Allah decreed it for wisdom. Now you don't have that wisdom of Allah, so you relax. We believe in Allah's wisdom and His mercy, and we know that everything is done for a goal and an objective. Okay, we got time. إذن so then لا تتجاوز محلها أو محلها. That rububiyyah of that human being over the other, that mastership of that person over another, is very limited, very deficient, and it doesn't go beyond that scope of that person. It's very limited in the sense. Excuse me. وَلَا يَنْصَرِفُ فِيهَا الْإِنسَانِ تَصَرُّفَ لَا يَتَصَرَّفُ فِيهَا الْإِنسَانِ تَصَرُّفًا تَمَنْ. You don't have complete authority over that thing. Allah has complete authority. His rububiyyah is immaculate. It encompasses everything. Your rububiyyah is limited. You could be the master of a household. That's why they say in Arabic, Rabbul Bayt. Rabbul Bayt meaning the owner, the leader, the master of this household. Rabbul Amal, the manager of that business. But you don't have authority over everything. You can't control what will happen in the future, what is under your care. Only Allah Azza wa Jal does. بل تصرفه مقيد إما بالشرع وما بالعرف. But rather the mastership of that person over that which he's in charge of is actually limited, either by شرع, what Allah said this is haram, you cannot act like you want in something which Allah Azza wa Jal made it haram, أما بالعرف, or according to what is known amongst the people. For example, you own a car, do you have the right to light it and put it on fire?
Yeah.
You sure do. But is that something that the people will let you do? Really? The community, will it ever approve of that, or will you think you're crazy? They think you're crazy.
I disagree.
If you have a nice car, no, some will prevent you, by the way. Some will say, look, you don't want the car, get out of here. I'll take the car. what's your problem? They can say, hey, that's my car. Say, I know it's your car, but you're going to burn it, I'll take it. And they may tie you up and beat you up and take your car and go with it. Why? The society that doesn't register with them that someone burns his car. So whether the Sharia tells you this is haram, you cannot burn your car because this is risk from Allah, and the society, urf, will reject your actions and they may prevent you. So you don't have control authority over that which you are a master over. You're still limited by the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal and the society in which you live. وَقَوْلُهُ وَمَعْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ أَمَرَ الْعِبَادَ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَطَاعَةِ رُسُلِهِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ. Along with that, or with that, Allah has commanded the slaves to obey Him and obey His messengers, and He prohibited them from disobeying them, both Allah and His messengers. يعني وَمَعْ عُمُومِ خَلْقِهِ وَرُبُوبِيَتِهِ لَمْ يَتْرُكُ الْعِبَادَ هَمَلًا. Yani, even though Allah is the creator and in charge of everything, yet He did not leave His creation, as they say in English, unattended. Rather, He did not leave them unattended. وَلَمْ يَرْفَعْنُمْ اخْتِيَارٍ, nor did He give them the ultimate choice in everything. بَلْ أَمَرَهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَطَاعَةِ رُسُلٍ. Rather, He commanded them to obey Him and obey His messengers. وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ, and He prohibited them that they disobey Allah and His messengers. Now, who can give me an ayah from the book of Allah that you're supposed to obey the prophets, or that the prophets called their people to obedience to them, and not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because we have many ayat, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا رَسُولَهُ. I want an ayah wherein another messenger is quoted in the Quran to have told his people, obey me.
In Surah Hud, there
is
so many prophets saying the same
statement, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Obey Allah and fear Allah and obey me. What about Surah Nuh? إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَى قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَنْذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. That you should worship Allah, have taqwa towards Him, have taqwa of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَطِيعُونَ, and obey me. And in Surah كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا. صح؟ Again, so Musa again was sent to Musa to Fir'aun, and he was commanded to obey Musa, but Fir'aun disobeyed him. He disobeyed the messenger, so Allah Azza wa Jal took him. So again, we learn from the Quran that every messenger commanded his people to obey him. This was a condition upon them, along with obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَمْرُهُ بِذَلِكَ أَمْرٌ يُمْكِنٌ. Now Allah giving this command is something which is possible or impossible? Is it possible for you to obey Allah and His Messenger or impossible? It's possible. فَالْمَأْمُورُ مَخْلُوقٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The one who's been commanded is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَفِعْلُهُ مَخْلُوقٌ لِلَّهِ. And your actions are created by Allah. وَمَعْ ذَلِكَ يُؤْمَرْ وَيُنْهَى. With that, he's still being given commandments and prohibitions. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ مُجْبَرًا عَلَى عَمَلِهِ لَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ أَمْرًا بِغَيْرِ مُمْكِنٍ. Had the person been obliged, if we had no free will to do anything, then being commanded would become something impossible. If you have no free will, if you had no free will, meaning Allah imposes on you what you do, what is the point of you being commanded and prohibited? There's no point, because you don't have a free will to obey or disobey. So it doesn't matter that some of the deviant Muslims, may Allah guide us and guide them, they say that, you know, we don't have a free will. Like the Jabariyah, who say that everything we do has been forced upon us by Allah. If this is the case, then what is the point of Allah saying, أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ? You don't have a choice anymore in obeying or disobeying, then it's nonsensical. It is nonsensical to believe that we have no free will. Rather, we have a free will. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You do not will until Allah wills, but Allah gave us the will. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Yeah, Allah gave us the free will. Subhanallah al-Azim. إذن, والله عز وجل يقول لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسع. Allah says Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope, beyond its ability. ويقول تعالى لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسع. We do not burden the soul beyond its scope. وهذا يدل على أنهم قادرون على فعل الطاعة. This indicates that they are able to carry out the ta'a, the obedience. وعلى تجنب المعصية. And that we're able to avoid the ma'siyah. وأنهم غير مكرهين على ذلك. And we're not forced to do anything. We can leave alone the sin. It's just that we love it, so we fall into it. And we have the ability to obey, but we're lazy, so we don't carry it out. Otherwise, Allah gave us the ability to obey or disobey. And we have to stop here, even though this is a very interesting part of the dars, which is the fact that Allah loves the muttaqeen and the muhsineen and the muqsideen. And we will see who these are, inshallah, in the next dars, which will be the following week. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.